Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report. With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We, of course, love our opportunity to talk to the great man himself, Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune. He is a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check him out, aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you know the story. We're seeing a growing injury list, and it's disturbing because there's a couple guys that are added to it that you really don't want to see injured. Andrew Billings might be the most, the least talked about, but as important and essential a player as there is on this team. And now he's suddenly added to the injury list, and it gives you pause.
Yeah, we'll see what information we get out at House Hall a little bit later on today, but hopefully that's just something minor, a little maintenance, and he can be out there because we had that very conversation, what was it, a week or two ago?
Yep.
You know, when you start talking about, you know, who the players that can't miss on this team, and I said, you know, I could totally understand an opinion where you got somebody at three like Jalen Johnson or DJ Moore that I don't have at three, but I could make a pretty good case for Billings being third on that list. And if he's not third on your list, that's fine. But if he's not in your top five, your top five's not right.
Brad, hearing from Mercedes Lewis yesterday was, I think, a little alarming or at least concerning. When he talked about telling Shane Waldron, after Shane Waldron invoked the meeting and referenced the meeting he had with the leadership council, Mercedes Lewis talked about telling Shane Waldron basically to not walk on eggshells, not to be tentative. All the things that he revealed about that conversation did not leave people wanting to feel confident about the Bears any more confident about the Bears. What did you make of it?
Well, I think there's a, if you've got open line of communication, there's an opportunity for improvement there. But communication isn't going to execute a third and one at the 45-yard line with 4 minutes to play when you're chasing 4 points. It's going to help, but you got to go out there and make it happen. Waldron seemed a little uneasy talking about things this week, yesterday at the podium, but I think that's sort of who he is. There's some things they're doing well, like, I mean, Caleb's completion percentage, yards per attempt has gone up each week. Okay, you don't need to look at the numbers to it passes the eye test. I think that Caleb Williams has improved through the first 3 weeks, and that's significant for Waldron. That's significant for the Bears. And he's done so with some of these issues that we've talked about at length around him in terms of offensive line play, lack of a running game, Keenan Allen hasn't been in there, et cetera. But, man, this is another opponent, not unlike the one last week, that has got some issues. The Rams have really been struggling on defense. The Rams have got a multitude of injuries on both sides of the ball. They look like a team that's beat up depth chart wise in week 12. And it's, we haven't even gotten close to week 12, and this game comes home, and it's another team that in a stretch of games here with kind of an iffy defense. And I thought anyway that the Bears would be able to take advantage of that last week in Indianapolis. They've got to hope that they're just a week behind getting to that, and they can play better offensive football against the Los Angeles Rams.
Brad, when you talk about the Rams, you can't help but think about, you know, the guys that aren't there. Aaron Donald retired. I know they've been drafting linemen for a while, but that impacts your defense, and certainly it's impacted their defense. They're down two receivers, Pro Bowl-level receivers. They're down three starting offensive linemen. How beaten up is this team, and what do you make of the fact that they have not played well in the Central time zone for the most part? I think they were 0-6. Now, you know, that's a tough trip from L.A. and an early morning start. Your body clock's a little messed up.
Yeah, they're missing all those guys. They're having similar issues in the run game. They haven't been able to run the ball well either. The Bears rank 31st, and the Rams are just ahead of them at 29th, getting about 5 yards more per game on the ground with Kyren Williams. So I thought the Rams played a really good ball game in week one at Detroit. They ended up losing that game against a difficult opponent in a tough place to go, but they made what I thought was a strong showing, and then they got their doors blown off the next week against the Arizona Cardinals. They bounced back and they upset a 49ers team that's going through some injuries. So, yeah, it's a tough road trip for the Rams. The West Coast teams really do not like those early kickoffs when they come east, especially when they get to the Eastern time zone. But even here in Chicago, when they've got to play a little bit earlier. So I think there's a handful of factors here that should tilt things a little bit in the Bears' direction. They've got to go out and play well against an elite quarterback in Matthew Stafford, even though he's going to be shorthanded in terms of help around him on Sunday.
All right, Brad, we know you're a bottom line guy. You don't get caught up in a lot of the nonsense, but I want to ask you about a little of the nonsense yesterday, because Shane Waldron, I think if you paid attention to the substance, you weren't necessarily convinced that things were headed in the right direction. But a lot of people got caught up on the style, which was a little skittish, to be honest. Wondered what you made of Shane Waldron yesterday at the podium and what effect that could have on any, if it does at all, on Sunday's game plan.
I don't think it'll have any effect on the game plan. I think that's who he is. He's not super comfortable in that setting. Like we talked about yesterday, Caleb Williams is natural in that setting. Some coaches are very natural in that setting. Like Greg Blash could stand up there all day and be outstanding in that setting, right? And that's not probably Shane's favorite thing to do, but he does put a smile on it on his face. The concern is if he's like that when he's standing in front of a room full of players, not a room full of reporters. Then if he's nervous Nelly in front of the players, that, you know, how do you sell your game plan? How can the player be confident in it when you're potentially struggling to convey confidence in the game plan? And I'm not saying that's the case for them, but I mean, I asked him about their production in the first quarter. The Bears have scored a field goal in the first quarter so far this season. They did have a miss by Cairo on the opening possession last week in Indianapolis. It was a really long kick for him. And the Rams have only got a field goal in the first quarter this season. The Philadelphia Eagles have actually put up a goose egg in the first quarter this season. And I pointed out, hey, you're second in the NFL in scoring in the fourth quarter. The Bears have 30 points in the fourth quarter. But do you script plays? Is there something you're looking at with that? And he said that, you know, that he felt that was scheme related, so he wasn't going to address that, whether he had a script of plays or not. Not what was on the script, but if he did or not. Because, you know, 11 plays, 32 yards before the missed field goal. At Houston, they opened up with an 11-play drive. It only got him 42 yards, and they get a field goal. So, you know, you don't want to share, that's no problem. I reach out to people I know who were in Seattle last year. Yes, Shane Waldron, unless he's changed his ways this year, does have a script of plays going into the game that they use to open things up. So I wound up getting an answer, just took a little more work.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. And Brad, I guess as I think about, and I mean, you're right, he's not a comfortable person at the podium, but he did answer some questions, and I don't know if they're real answers or he had responses. The whole running game thing is bizarre.
Oh, boy.
Khalil Herbert is your short yardage back, and that's why you kind of brought him in. We had talked to Dave earlier in the week, Wonstead, and he said that the one thing he knew from all the years he was around running backs, you like to get them lathered up. You like to get somebody up and right. You don't want to bring them in at the goal line and say, here we go, we're going to use you. If you have Roschon Johnson getting you a big first down to get you in there, then why not hand off to him? Why are you using the backs in the way you're using them in the second quarter there? And the answer apparently is that Khalil Herbert is their designated short yardage back, which seems wrong and seems kind of strange. I just wonder what your take was when he talked about the usage fact of the running back position.
I don't have an issue with Herbert being their designated short yardage goal line guy. I'm fine with that for a couple reasons. One, obviously, I don't think that's who Swift is, and they don't think that's who Swift is. That's not why they signed DeAndre Swift in free agency. Herbert's shown the ability to be proficient between the tackles the past couple seasons. And then Roschon Johnson, I think he could develop into that guy. I think you want to see a little more from him. Remember, a little bit of a taller running back, a converted quarterback at the University of Texas. And so one of the things that was a storyline for Roschon anyway last season was running behind his pads a little bit more effectively, ensuring that he wasn't upright, running with a good lean. It's all things that are important for running backs, and I think magnified when you talk about a goal line or short yardage situation. So Herbert being that guy, I have no issue with. I do agree with Dave's premise that, you know, to get the best out of a running back, they need to get into the flow of the game. As you said, they need to get lathered up a little bit, and that's difficult to do when you're struggling to run the football, when you're trying to run on first and 10 and then you've got second and 9. Well, it's pretty clear you're in a passing situation, and barring a big profit there on second and 9, you're probably throwing it again on third down. The Bears have really struggled on first and 10 this season, and that's kind of set everything back.
The Bears defensively have excelled at bringing pressure, whether it's from the secondary or linebackers, but that is the way that this defense has really succeeded this season. I don't know if that's the answer or the approach against Matthew Stafford, who has definitely can make every throw. It doesn't matter who he's throwing to. What do you expect defensively from the Bears in terms of an approach, Brad?
Yeah, I think they've got to pick and choose their spots there, because they ought to feel like they can win some matchups with the Rams having so many injuries on the line. The Rams have used three different starting left guards to this point. The Bears are not alone in the forest when it comes to issues and moving parts and things of that nature on the offensive line. It's happening to other teams as well. So Stafford isn't very mobile. So I think Eberflus is going to want to be aggressive at certain calculated times, but you ought to feel like with Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp out for this game that you can match up and cover real well downfield and maybe not need pressure quite as much. It all starts with stopping the run. You keep Kyren Williams in the situation that he's in right now, where he's averaging an even 3 yards a carry. And that's going to put the Rams in clear passing situations, and then you've got an advantage.
Who'd you pick, Brad?
I went back and forth on this one at the beginning of the week. I was Bears, and then I got to thinking about just kind of an unsure vibe about a lot of things up there, and I was kind of leaning toward the Rams because they're obviously very well coached with Sean McVay, and Stafford again is elite. I flipped back to the Bears last night, guys. I just think that the situation here sets up for them. The Rams have not played well on defense. Stafford's without those targets that can, those guys can, on a 3rd and 8, can go for 38 yards. Those wide receivers that are going to be sidelined. So I went with the Bears. I don't know that it'll necessarily be real pretty. It doesn't have to be. I picked 17-16, guys.
Yeah.
Low scoring game.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Good stuff, Brad. Thank you, Bigsy.
We appreciate it, bud.
See you Sunday.
Hey, have a great weekend, guys.
You too.
That is Brad Biggs. He is the football man of the Chicago Tribune.